Welcome to The Bibliophiles, the official podcast of Bib Little Literature. I'm your host, Beth Steffens, and I'm here to provide real lit feels for real lit lovers. Hello, hello. Welcome to the inaugural episode of The Bibliophiles, the official podcast of Bib Little Literature. My name is Beth Steffens, and I will be your host. I wanted to start this podcast for a really long time so I could have one more way to reach my fellow book lovers. I'm so excited to get this project off the ground. This is going to be a really super informal book club, so every episode I'll have a new guest to talk to me about recent books that we read together, our favorite literature of all time, and other thoughts and feelings about the literary community. I could not be more excited or grateful for my very first guest. This person is my book twin, the badass boss who taught me so much about the working world, the woman who I co-created a podcast with at our jobs, the biggest foodie in my life, and also just one of my dearest and best friends of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast, Dana Tong.
Thank you. That was so nice.
Oh, well, I'm so glad that you could join me for this very first episode.
My pleasure.
So I asked Dana to be my very first guest for many reasons. For one thing, I would say about 30% of our conversations revolve around books, if not more. Would you agree, Dana?
Agreed.
Okay. Yeah, we pretty much G-chat all day. And a lot of the times our G-chats focus on books, so I felt like it was relevant. Also, like I said, we created a podcast together at our jobs where we have worked together for, somehow we've been working together for six years. I don't know how we've lasted this long at that job, but it's happened.
I don't know either.
It's a mystery to the world.
Yep.
So we learned so much from doing that project together, and we had so much fun, so I felt like we were really coming full circle by her being my first guest. And then lastly, we both recently read a book that very much deals with our jobs and the finance industry. It's a book written by Mbolo Mbuye called Behold the Dreamers, and it was published in 2016. So Dana's actually the one who recommended this book to me, and it covers a lot of topics, including xenophobia, racism, immigration, the American dream, money, too big to fail, relationships. Did I leave anything out? That was a lot of topics.
Nope, I think you got it all.
So it follows an immigrant family from Cameroon who has been in New York City for a few years now, and the husband, Jindy, wanted to move to the U.S. with his wife and son to build a better life than they could ever have in Cameroon. And after struggling for a few years, Jindy finally gets this amazing opportunity when he is hired as a chauffeur for an executive at Lehman. So as you can guess, the book takes place right before the fall of Lehman and the financial crisis, and then follows the impact immediately preceding this. So I gave this book 4 flames. It really could not have been published at a more opportune time. It seems like xenophobia is just like running rampant in this country, and I thought it was such an engaging novel. What would you rate it, Dana?
I think I would also give it 4 out of 5.
Did you have a favorite part of the book that you enjoyed the most?
I really enjoyed like the parts that had like the kids involved, especially Mighty. Like when the wife was working over the summer at, at her house in the Hamptons, and just how she interacted with the kids. I enjoyed the aspect of all the children and just their lives.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting too to see like how like Jindy and his wife interact with kids, and how it's different from the way the Clarks interact with their child. Like, you can tell both parents still love their children, but it's very different coming from like this immigrant family that doesn't have a lot of money to this like high powered couple that does have a lot of money. Like, they rely on maids, they always have nannies. So I think it's interesting to see those relationships play out.
Definitely.
One of the most interesting parts for me was all of the talk about the American dream. And like, I know me personally, I don't think I've ever been caught up in this illusion that you can obtain your wildest dreams on American soil. But like, you and I, Dana, have talked a lot about having this dream job and like this illusion that a dream job exists. And so it was interesting for me to see what an immigrant family who was not born in the U.S. thought of the American dream. Because I don't know if somebody who was born in the U.S. would even consider the American dream a possibility. What do you think?
Probably not, or even if they did, I feel like it would just be a matter of financial success. Like, if you became rich, you would achieve the alleged dream. But their take on it was more than just that. I feel like it was the freedom to have like a future, like that they may not have dreamt of in Cameroon, that they could go to the grocery store and like buy all these different things, and you couldn't do that where they were from. So their perceptions of it are definitely different.
Mm-hmm. And probably here too, like we take advantage of the freedom we do have. Like, even though this idea of the dream job, like, I don't know if that really exists, but if we wanted a dream job, we could at least try to obtain it, where it seems like in other countries you can't do that.
No, they made it definitely seem like your future is incredibly limited by a lot of factors, but social factors, especially like family bonds, relationships within their community, things like that.
I also thought their naivete was so heartbreaking. Like, they really thought this country was the best place on earth, and these people were just the nicest people. And it's like, no, the system is just like really like breaking you down, and it's impossible for you to make any kind of movement.
That's why I almost like the end of it, though, because I feel like the traditional ending might be they just kind of kept on going in pursuit of this goal they had, or that they ended up kind of succeeding, which would have been nice. But I almost like that they became quite disillusioned and just returned home, because I feel like that's unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that they were kind of disillusioned, because that's the reality, I think, for many immigrants. But I'm sure many of them don't necessarily return home. They kind of had to. They had no choice. But I like the ending, because I think it was the opposite of what we would expect.
So speaking of the ending, do you think the book ended on a positive note, or do you feel like when I was reading it, I felt like there was, I don't know, this sense of hopelessness, like there was no way they were going to win no matter what. So what did you think of that aspect of the ending?
I think for the wife especially, because she so badly wanted to, you know, make it in America, but I also thought it was interesting when it was kind of revealed that, you know, like in the beginning you think she really wants to be a pharmacist, she like is really smart, she has this goal, and then you kind of learn that they kind of arbitrarily chose pharmacist as mm-hmm. like this random career for her. But I think for her it was because she had to return home, and that's not what she wanted at all. But at least they would have enough money to like be much more well off than they were.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, I actually felt there was hope for them. I think when they were still in the country, it was when it was the most hopeless.
Also, it was like, so I knew that, you know, they would go home and they would have more, obviously, than they did before they immigrated. But I was kind of surprised to learn that they would be, like, super rich, and, like, they would be so high power back home in Cameroon once they left. That really surprised me. Did it surprise you?
Yeah, I mean, the way they basically said they would be like set for life, and all they had was like $13,000.
Right. And then the whole time I'm reading this, I'm like, you should have gone home a long time ago. Get out of this country.
I know. Well, and the husband looked back so fondly on it that you could tell that he missed it.
Mm-hmm. And not that like I can relate to. Obviously, they dealt with way more issues than I ever did when I moved to New York City, but a part of me felt a little connect with them, because like I remember moving to New York, having no money, like not really knowing anybody, not knowing what I was doing, because I'm from the Midwest, so New York was kind of like a different country for me. So it was cool to feel a little bit of a connection with them, even though obviously I didn't face all the things they did, but I still felt a little bit of a connect with them. Did you feel that as well? Because you're not from New York.
I'm not from New York, but honestly, I feel the bigger connection for me is through, like Kevin, my husband's family, because they were immigrants that came. His mom, I believe, came first, and then years later, his dad followed, but they were already married, so they spent years apart while, like, one person was in the U.S. and one person wasn't. But they, you know, were similar in that they had a vision that, like, they could achieve success here. Their kids would become doctors or lawyers or whatever. And I mean, they did pretty well. Like, one kid's an accountant, one kid's a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
So I like can relate to it more like in that aspect, interacting with them and like knowing what they've been through.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever talked to his family, like obviously Kevin, but then his family as well, about what their idea of the American dream was before they came here?
Not really what their preconceived notions were, but ironically, we just watched a stand-up comedy the other day on Netflix with the guy who plays Eddie Huang in the Crazy Rich Asians movie, or his name is Eddie something, I forget his last name, but it was, like, funny, he was talking about, like, in China, the, like, Chinese word for the U.S. is, like, beautiful country or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
Like, that's, like, what it, I mean, it was part of his comedy, like, routine, so I'm not, like, 100% sure, like, exactly if that's true or, like a satirical thing, but mm-hmm. any event, he explained that, like, you know, to people there, it means, like, beautiful country. So, there, it seems that that idea still exists, similar to the characters in this book, mm-hmm. but they don't talk about their time kind of immigrating here much. We usually have to pry for information.
I'd be really interested to see, like, how their notions now and their perceptions of the country now compare to what they thought, like, when they were immigrating and before they immigrated.
Yeah, it would be interesting to ask them that. I think definitely they do have a notion that I think we're kind of seeing nowadays, where immigrants that have come here are now against kind of current immigration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they came here legally, like, did all this stuff to achieve their life. They don't necessarily believe that other people should just be coming in illegally, but so that's kind of an interesting thing. They don't typically, like, reflect on it much, I feel like.
Yeah. One of the cool things about our job is that we work at such a global company, so we work with people in so many different countries, and also just being in New York and being on the East Coast, we have a lot of people in our office who are from other countries, and I don't think I realized, probably until, like, the last 6 months, like, how difficult it is to get into America, to become a citizen here, like, even just getting your visa. Somebody I work with had to go back on a whim in November to get his visa renewed, and it's, like, such a hassle to keep your visa, but then it's also such a hassle to become a citizen, and it's really sad how hard this country makes it for people who want to move here and have a better life.
Especially since, you know, our company should know of all people, immigration is very good for the economy.
Mm-hmm. So was there anything about the book that, so we both gave it 4 flames on a scale of 5. Was there, what about this book stopped you from giving it 5 flames?
I almost wished it didn't end. Like, I wanted to know more. And it didn't end, we're just, like, dropped off a cliff. But I would have liked to have known, like, an epilogue of their life, almost.
Like, after they got back to Cameroon?
Exactly. Like, 5 years later, what was it like, you know? It would just be interesting to know. Mm-hmm. And then I think, you know, I liked the book a lot, but I wouldn't say I was, like, couldn't put it down necessarily, like, but I still thought it was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt the same way, too. Like, the plot was really interesting. The naivete was hard to read about, and sometimes it felt a bit too much. Like, at times I was like, oh, like, I don't know if they're being painted in the best light, and I think that was intentional to prove that, like, they didn't really know what they were getting themselves into, but sometimes that was just hard to read, and I didn't know if it was 100% accurate.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, too, like, just, like, the way they lived, it, you know, for some of the things they did, I'm like, how are you, like, surviving if he's, like, a janitor? Like, it's almost hard to, like, envision. Like, you need more information. They mentioned at, like, one point, for instance, the kids were on some sort of state health care. But I kind of, like, wanted to know, like, more about that. Like, how, like, I knew they had a rent-controlled apartment with, like, a landlord who basically, they stayed them under the table, and they were on the healthcare plan. But, like, they're, to live on such little money, I feel like I needed more information about how they were doing that.
Yeah, I felt the same. And I know they said, like, early on he was working 3 jobs at once, but I'm still, like,
yeah.
Like, how did you make this happen? And I'm sure, and I know they had, like, a bad apartment because they talked about how gross it was, but still, I didn't know how they were making ends meet before he got this job.
Exactly. I did think it was a little bit out of character that Clark saw, like, prostitutes, because I felt like they painted him out to be, like a tough person, but, like, you know, he was against kind of the cheating that was going on, allegedly, in, you know, that was going on at Lehman. And then he kind of was, like, this better person interested in Jende's life also. And then all of a sudden, like, seeing prostitute. I don't know. For some reason, it didn't gel with me.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but that makes sense. It was almost like the author was pulling in, like, other stories from this era that she wanted to highlight, and like she wanted to highlight the immorality that was happening. But I didn't necessarily get immorality from Clark either.
No, and I felt you could have still had the wife be very paranoid, even if he didn't do that, just because, like, you know, at times, you know, they were just going, like, sit by the water, but, like, he was, you know, unaccounted for. Like, I think it's the suspicious aspect could have still been a part of it. I guess they wanted the, like, tabloid situation to, like, you know, cause her to go over the edge, but I don't know. It didn't. I felt like he should have been a slimier character then.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they needed to add that in to, like, give him more, I don't know, like, more complexity or anything. I think he was a complex character the way he was, and that added a new dimension to him that didn't mix well. Going back to kind of comparing Jindy's family and then the Clark family, which is the family that he starts to work for as a chauffeur, like, even though, obviously, the Clark family had so much more money than Jindy could have ever imagined, and they had such a better life, I was glad that that the author still talked about the difficulty of the financial crisis on the Clark family. Like, yes, they are still the 1%, but they still had their issues too, and not that that should overshadow what happened to the less fortunate, but it was still interesting to read about what happened to these people who live a completely different life than the rest of us in the States.
It was interesting. The son, I think, intrigued me, the older son who, like, wanted to move to India and become enlightened.
I really want to know how did he get to that point in his life where he was like, I'm going to move to India and I'm so disillusioned by everything that's happened in this country.
It was difficult to tell, though, whether I feel like he was really disillusioned or it was like a disillusionment coming from like privilege. Like the family was basically like funding his life. Like, what does he really know about, you know, people who are, I guess, like kind of like true hippies against, they're very like counterculture. / just about other parts of life. I felt like it was like a bit of a privileged disillusionment.
Mm-hmm. Which is obviously different from other characters in the book.
Mm-hmm.
I also really enjoyed just how much, there's not a ton of finance, like it's not like you need to understand finance to know the book, but because we both work in finance, and we used to work in structured finance, which was all about the subprime mortgage crisis. I loved reading about those parts because I felt like our lives were being portrayed a little bit in the book, which was fun.
It always warms my heart when I see alternative A in a novel.
Yes, it's, if you don't know what all A is, look it up, people. It's incredibly interesting. So going away from Behold the Dreamers, which is a very good book, and I hope everybody reads it and let us know what you think. Dana, I want to know what you are looking forward to in literature in 2020, whatever year this is.
I'm looking forward to the first solid year of my neighborhood book club because, I mean, we have like our 2-person book club, but we actually have like all of the books selected for the next 6 months, all the meetings planned, so I'm looking forward to a productive book club year. So I'm excited about that.
You have the most productive book club I've ever heard of. You have 6 books planned out?
We have 6 books planned out. I just finished the first one. Our meeting is in 2 weeks. So yeah, I'm excited about that. We'll plan the next 6 in July. We were trying to give other people a chance to join if they wanted to and not just set everything. But like I said, we actually discussed the books for like a solid amount of time in these book clubs. So
awesome. Can you give us a hint as to what books you'll be reading this year?
So the first book that we just read that I just finished was The Last Romantics by Tara Conklin. And then I believe the next book is The Dutch House. And there's one other one that I think I've already read. It is escaping me. But we do have like 6 actual books ready to go.
Great, so that's probably 6 more books to add to my list that never ends.
Definitely.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining this very first episode of The Bibliophiles, and I'm sure you'll be coming back for us to talk more about books.
I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Dana. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Bibliophiles. If you want more, be sure to check out my blog, Big Little Literature. If you want to hear today's music from Evan Schaefer, check him out at soundcloud.com/Evan Schaefer. See you next time.